You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Alex Garland's Civil War.
Man, right to the point.
A journey across a dystopian future America.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes,
the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Cowan.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. Yeah. Talking Alex Garland again. So
yeah. Hey, look, I don't want to hear any shit. You giggled and laughed through most of the film when we saw it together. I don't want to. I just want to put that out there right now, guys. Brian enjoyed himself, even though in about 5 minutes he's going to say he didn't.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll hold it. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Hello.
It was very presidential.
Hello.
And we also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What, you switched up your hello and it kind of threw me off for a second. I was like, whoa. And here we are talking Alex Garland's Civil War. Look, it was better than Men. Okay, let's just start.
Oh my God! Well, that's not hard.
Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Low fucking bar.
Still not as good as Ex Machina, but better than Men. Am I right?
Most things are better than Men. Am I right?
It's better than most men. Yeah.
Not all men, Jared.
Not all men. No. It's not better than Jesse Plemons, because he's badass.
Jesse Plemons is in this.
You know, I didn't want to even go see this in theaters. I, man.
I didn't. I almost said Mike. Brian, come on.
I didn't want to go. Well, okay, look. I didn't want to go see this in theaters because I had read all the reviews and seen all the Rotten Tomato blurbs where people are like, you know, this is unbiased version of Civil War. You don't even know what's happening politically. And, you know, that kind of turned me off. I was like, I don't really want to see a movie that doesn't have anything to say.
Opinion?
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah.
And then the fucking beginning of this movie, the evil president of the United States is clearly fucking a goddamn Donald Trump stand-in.
Yes.
What the fuck are all these goddamn critics and reviewers fucking talking about? Are they all fucking high? Am I living in a different world?
No. I think this is an Alex Garland thing, and I don't know what he has over the rest of the world, because I think
he's English.
Is that it? Like they're confused by his accent or
100%.
Something?
Yep.
Because no. I went through this with Men. I could not figure out why people liked that movie. There were so many good reviews, and the same thing with this one. And I actually forgot he directed it, and I was sitting there going, "What is the point of this?" Like everything clicked as soon as I realized he was the one making this movie. Like I don't understand how people like agree to work with him, agree to fund him, agree to do any of this. It's not. Good.
This is A24's largest film ever, Kristen. This is the most money they've ever put out for anything.
That's exactly what I'm saying. How could they do that for this?
Because he makes good movies. He makes quality, thought-provoking, fucking
thought provoking. They even say in the movie.
Thought provoking?
No, they even
say. Yeah, you were like, wow, what was that about?
No. Yeah.
Fuck off.
No, that's technically correct. But there's a point. There's a line in the movie where they're like, yeah, we don't really have to think about things. That's what other people's job is. And I'm like, well, if that doesn't summarize this whole goddamn movie.
Yeah. That's
it's not the
point,
though. The movie is improperly titled. The movie is improperly titled. You know, it's about some journalists, and it's about what journalism people have to do, journalists have to do to, you know, to get the fucking news that we need to see. Right?
I mean, that's what it is.
You can guess all you want, but we don't really know.
That is what we're following, though. Okay, like, you know,
The plot.
The politics have nothing to do with it.
But what is the movie saying about journalists, though?
Nothing. It's
that they're cold-hearted bastards who have to like kill their emotions to become. And guess what? And when one falls, another one will be there to take its place because we need.
Yeah, is that a good? I don't know.
No,
we need the photo of the moment.
Fuck, what?
No,
we could just break out our phone and get the video of it, but we just need a high quality Leica image of the moment.
You know the thing though that really irritated me is that like. Photojournalists are important. Journalists are important. Press is important, obviously. But the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, he could have taken like literally anything, any moment, any real moment that is worth so much more than just like some random person who's in a tire on like fire. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, this seemed like he was like, let me think of every horrifying image that I've ever thought of and put it in this movie, except. Other people in other wars die for, like, there's actual reasons that you're being fought that, and you can, like, clearly go, oh, well, this is, you know, what's happening. This is either nuanced or it's not. You know, some things are very clearly wrong. And with this, you have no idea what's going on. You're like, I don't know if I should be supporting these people or not. Even the guy who you thought was, like, a neo-Nazi. You're like, oh, no, he's actually not a terrorist. He's kind of shitty, but he's kind of not. Like, I don't know how I feel about him either. Is that the point that you just don't have feelings? Like maybe you just shouldn't feel? Like what the fuck is going on?
Well, you kind of know. You know that the president is taking a third term, and that's caused people to like, you know, and then fucking to rise up against, like Florida and California have come together and they're going against the president.
California
and then the president.
And Texas.
I'm sorry, California and Texas.
Yeah.
But Florida, no, yes. Florida also,
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida was their own thing.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, like, you know, and then he tries to, he starts like firing on American people, which calls another fucking, you know, it's just because this dictator president trying to like take over and it causes everything to blow up. At least that's what I got out of it. Right.
Yeah. Again, this is part of the story, but like, what's the point of
that?
To tell an interesting story.
I mean, like, that's just the backdrop of the movie because, like we said, that's not what the movie's about. It's about journalism, okay? So,
it's about journalism.
All right, so what are we saying in this movie? Yes, we understand that this is documenting journalists and they're in action during war. They don't get involved. That's not what they do, all right? They're there to take a picture. What is this film saying about it? I mean, it just seems like it's just pissing all over journalists and... It's such a cynical look at mm-hmm. what journalists do as a profession, and
I don't understand why
he's shitting all over them. I don't know. It's very bizarre, and the movie doesn't really give me a lot to be like, oh well, yeah, that's terrible. But it's war. I mean,
well, if she would have, if they're not innately bad, because she starts to, Kirsten Dunst's character starts to shift. And she changes, even down to the point where she took the photo of her dead friend, but she was still deleting it, you know, so it couldn't be used. Or
oh, the old man that was writing in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she deletes that photo because she knows him.
She's starting to get a heart.
No, yeah, she's had a heart. That's not fair. I think these people, yes, you're right. This is presenting them in a very cynical way, but these people obviously have hearts. These people obviously care. It's just that they... pretend that they don't, and they pretend that because they need the story, they have a job to do. I think a lot of people can kind of identify with that.
But Kristen, Alan Garland, this fucking filmmaker, he's just constantly throwing the gun visually on screen and with the sound effect, and he's intercutting that with the camera. I mean, he's telling us that these two fucking objects are the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
They're both extremely deadly weapons, and they kill just as many people. I don't know if I fucking believe that. Is that what you're peddling me in a movie called Civil War? I don't know. It just seems like if that's the story you wanted to tell, this isn't the way to do it. I don't know. I have a hard time with this movie. I don't understand what it was saying.
It wasn't saying anything, because I also looked it up. He wrote it, too. He wrote it and directed it. So, like, there was no vision at any point at any time for this thing.
It's just visuals. It's just pretty pictures.
Is it pretty? It's pretty horrifying visuals.
No. Well, okay. I mean, framing composition-wise, it is.
Okay,
fine.
Yes.
It is a well-crafted, well-shot movie. For a movie that is essentially about people taking pictures, it takes the time to make those frames really interesting.
Right.
So like, visually, it's kind of a feast to watch. But, like, man, what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah.
I it's not that I dislike the movie. I did get a little bored about after the first hour. Right before Jesse Plemons showed up, I was like, oh, this,
yeah,
something better happen. And then that scene happened, and I was like, okay, nice, this is good. And I don't know, I guess it sticks the landing, but there are some good scenes, there's some good moments in this movie, and it starts well. It's just it doesn't wrap up, and I'm just like, what is this movie about? What are you trying to say with this?
I think the scene with Jesse Plemons is the best moment in the entire movie, and at best it is the thing that this movie is actually about. People experiencing horrific events, and you don't know who's in charge. You don't know who's responsible. You don't have someone that you can fucking blame. It's just shit happening.
That's the same thing with the sniper thing, which I thought was a really great, you know, they're like, who are you shooting at? And they were like,
they're trying to shoot at us.
It doesn't fucking matter. They're trying to kill us. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're just shooting.
Yeah. But, look, there's some good moments, and I love that also, but what is the point? Like,
what is the point?
Yeah. Somebody who actually knows what they're doing could have gone over the script and made it into something meaningful. Somebody could have gone in and, like, directed this into something interesting and meaningful. Just because he can hire a good cinematographer or a good actor or whatever doesn't excuse anything about this movie. It's still a horror. It's not. This is, I don't think there's really that much that's redeeming here. And I even went and tried to look up, I stopped because I remember, I went to try to look up some articles to see, like, maybe there's some thought behind this, but I remember what happened when I went researching for Men. And so I kind of stopped when I saw that this was going down the same path, because the biggest piece that they talked about, especially costume wise, were the glasses that Jesse Plemons wears. And his commentary was, yeah, they're supposed to make you think, why is he wearing these glasses? Where did he get them from?
And what?
Like, no, I swear to God, that's the quote. You can look it
what?
Up.
What?
I just assumed he got them from a person he shot. is what I assumed.
Obviously, he's a psychopath who picked them up off the ground when there's thousands
of. He's just a really big Chevelle fan, you know?
Where did he get those glasses?
Yeah, he's wearing them because you're supposed to ask that. Like, are you fucking serious? I can't stand anything about Alex Garland. But that's the thing, is how does everybody eat this up? How does everybody love this? How did all of these people agree to work with him? I don't understand this.
I agree with the, I don't know why people, and when I say people, I mean, I don't know why critics responded so well to it. Because the middle of the movie is, I don't know. It's like, man, the South is scary, y'all. Scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. Yeah. It just goes into Deliverance in the middle of the movie, and I don't really mind that, you know, but it's just a little too much, and, you know, I thought I was going for a... You look at the fucking marketing for this material, nothing screams Deliverance, but that's what about an hour of this movie is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just like, I don't know. Not that I hate it. I mean, it's got horror movie cliches, which... You know.
Yeah, like there are good moments. I did enjoy certain moments, but that's the thing, is like, I would honestly rather like pick out the certain moments and just like maybe string them all together in like a short than to sit and watch this as a full length movie.
Well, I don't know. The pacing was a little was very abrupt. Like, there were a lot of scenes where you would start in the middle of a scene, or like they would pull over and we would be at a campsite at night and they would talk about like, oh, we're going to go to this battle, and people would lay down and go to sleep, and then we're just cut in mid battle and we're taking the photograph
of
somebody
getting
shot.
They're just cool with us being in the middle of the battle. You know, they just, they hook up with with the troops.
Yeah, we don't
like,
see that
on,
at all. None of that is, you know, explained whatsoever. And then we're out and we're into another fucking music montage and we're going to go to the next thing. it's hard to get into structurally.
Also, the music was weird, right?
Weird.
Like, it doesn't.
There was a
it
lot
didn't
of weird music.
Flow. Like the music would take me out of it a lot of the times.
The cat agrees. I did like seeing Kirsten Dunst though, fucking on screen again, man. It was nice seeing her like carry a movie on the big screen.
Just yeah, blank, she fucking carries this movie.
Yeah,
emotionless.
She's hardcore. She's stone face.
But she's like the bad bitch on the block,
she
you
seems,
know?
Okay,
she's seen some shit, Kristen.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I thought she seemed like she was carrying a lot of weight, actually. Like a lot of, like a lot of like grief and a lot of hardship and except instead of dealing with it, she's just pushing through. And I think that really shows on her face. And because I actually looked it up, I was like, does she look like this in real life? she's only 42.
Yeah.
But no. And so she doesn't. She looks nice. But And so I was like, oh my God, is that like her acting? Because you can't really do that with makeup. That's all acting. Like I was really impressed by that. I also really enjoyed. And I kind of hate it, like, from a writing point of view, but if you're going to do this, fine. You know, the way that Kirsten Dunst, you know, didn't want that girl to come and was so upset about it, but, like, she's, like the gradual acceptance that she has, that she's like, you know, okay, now I guess someone has to take care of this child because no one else is.
Well, they gradually trade places. Like, you see that girl go from being scared to being more edgy, and even she at certain points where she becomes more solemn and has the same kind of facial reactions as Kirsten Dunst's character did at the beginning.
I thought their relationship was, if it had to happen that way, like fine. It was nice the way it happened. No, it made me so angry. Like
why? What was angering about
okay,
it?
Okay, well,
that
hold
she
on.
She was like mothering, or that she saw herself in this younger version of her.
Oh, that's so sweet, Mike. No, that's not why. no, because she is out there trying to do her job, and this very young, I thought she was a child, but the actress is of age.
26.
So, yeah, so maybe she's not, but I thought she was a child at first. And this like random dude that she's with is like, yeah, I thought she seemed cool, so I just invited this young girl along. But I'm not going to take care of her, except if she needs someone to stay up with her at night, you know, I can do that. Like, bro, like, are you fucking serious?
Right.
And so, yeah, I if we're gonna do this, fine. The way it happened, yes. The way, yes, she does kind of take her under her wing and kind of mothers her, and I thought that was really sweet. It shouldn't have. It should never have happened, though. I thought the whole thing was bullshit. The whole situation was bullshit.
Oh no, it was definitely a contrived situation for sure. Especially with the old man just like also coming along. Like, oh no, I'm gonna be yeah. Like, okay. We just set ourselves up for a road trip movie. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what all it is, man. It's just a big, long road trip thing.
Down through the scariest South, man. Oh, so scary. Oh, actually, no, it's not. It's West Virginia, isn't it? They're going through West Virginia. That's right.
Which is fucking scary. Yeah.
Those are mountain folk. It's a different...
I've seen The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Watch that one. Oh, some scary folks.
I just wish it was like one of those scenes, and then we would have moved on. I didn't need two or three.
Well, we had the going shopping, trying on dresses, looking at ourselves in the mirror, not recognizing who we are anymore. You know?
No, but that was about scary rednecks because that scene ends with, oh look, these people just forgot.
Still overseers.
No, yeah. And there's like a bunch of rednecks with their shotguns on the top of what are they on the top of the build roof?
Snipers on buildings. And yeah, shit.
We're just keeping the peace, man.
I also thought that was so crazy because they seemed like, did you even know that there's a civil war? How could you miss it? When, like, statistically, most people try and live their fucking lives. Like, they're not, most people, when there are wars, are not actively engaged in wars. They're trying to keep normalcy. So it makes sense that they're going to have a store open.
Yeah. Or at least try to.
Right.
That was one of the more heavy-handed scenes to me, though, where like you get to see their reaction of like, how do these people not know what's going on? Like, I feel like we just went through a, what did she say, a wormhole or a time loop or something?
Went back in time, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they even talk about their families back in the Midwest acting like nothing's going on. They just live in white bread America and things are just normal.
Which makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't have war in every single area of the country.
Why is Missouri called the Show Me State?
I don't know.
Okay, wait.
I don't know, man. Don't fucking kill me, bro.
Okay, but actually, that whole scene with Jesse Plemons was so amazing until all of a sudden it just went nowhere. And he's like, okay, you're cool. You can go. And I was like, wait, what? Like he's so scary because you think he's a fucking neo-Nazi, but he just, like, what, loves America? Like, what the fuck was that?
He likes real America. You know, Montana, that's what I'm talking about. You know? Fucking real America.
Colorado. I know where Colorado is.
You know?
Yeah, it's a state.
That's fucking America.
Hong Kong's China, right?
I don't know.
That ain't America.
Yeah, that don't sound like a state name. I'm pretty sure, right?
I will say that even though I was expecting that first shot to go off, it still made me jump. Yeah. Good sound in this. You know, they had great sound mixing and sound effects.
Wow, that's the first time I can say this in like a really long time about a modern movie. Yes, the sound is so good. I can hear things. I didn't have to put on subtitles. I didn't have to be like, what was that? Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of good sound effects too, though, like with the gunfire and the war stuff happening. Especially when they actually go and like are invading the Capitol, like all that stuff plays. It feels like almost documentary level kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the shitty camera they used to shoot this, some parts of this really lends to that documentary feel.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels right, you know.
It does.
It serves the story.
Yeah, the end of the movie does not feel like DC, though.
No. You talking about those badass walls? That was pretty fucking sick.
Those badass walls?
Yeah, man, that was really fucking awesome looking. And then, like, but, you know, it's so weird that they would have that one little, like, fort right in front of where the King Kong gates are that open up, you know? right there on the lawn of the fucking of the White House. And they're brutal. Was that his family that they came out in the limo first and then they all attacked the limo? And is that like his wife and kids and shit? And they just fucking like take them out?
I didn't see a kid. There was a kid?
I didn't see a kid.
I don't know. It looked like family, like wife. And,
oh, it probably I assumed it was one of the secretaries, you know, because it looked like one woman and she was dressed in like a business outfit.
No, he's talking about before that.
Oh.
Right, Jay?
Yeah, it's during that. Yeah.
Because you think that's the president for a while and then all of a sudden, you know, Kirsten Dunst he's just like feels
the Dunst spider sense goes off.
He's still in there. Still in there.
It's like, oh, I know.
Hell yeah.
We gotta go get the story.
Do they ever say why? Like, I know they work for a news company, but like, why do they care so much? Like, why are they going to DC to interview the president? Do they ever say why? Because they never say what they're gonna
because
ask.
Because he hasn't.
Because he hasn't been interviewed. They're just like, you know what?
He quit interviews. He quit interviews like 12 weeks ago or something like that. And anytime a reporter goes to DC, they instantly
they
get killed.
Him,
so
and they were like, "This sounds like a good idea."
Yeah,
it's the last story. Everything else has already been done. Because now there is a scene where he breaks it down. He's like, "Look, they're like so many weeks away from the front lines of killing all the things, and these guys are going to win, and those guys are going to take over, and that person's going to do the thing." We already know what's going to happen. We've seen that all happen before in all these other countries. The only story we have left right now is to hear from the president before he dies.
That's really, I like that a lot. I don't think any of that's in the movie, though. Right? Like,
no, that was
like,
in the movie.
Is it? Like, the, okay.
Yeah, it was like, what was it? It's the bar where he picks the girl up. I guess you don't see that.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Yeah, the hotel bar.
Oh, right. Okay.
After the first, I guess, like, little skirmish explosion that they had. What were they doing? Yeah. Were they passing out food? Or I can't even remember what that fucking opening military explosion was.
With the flag person that ran in. And
oh, that's right. He ran in. You guy runs by with an American flag and, you know.
She's like, oh, fuck.
And she sees it coming, so she ducks behind the car. Yeah. It's a good moment.
I mean, it kind of brings us into the world of like what's happening and gives us insight into both both of the characters, of how young and naive and how old and seasoned Kirsten Dunst is. She knows what's going on when nobody else recognizes it. And there's just a fuck ton of chaos going on in the world. So as an intro scene, I think it does its job pretty well.
So you know what? Why don't we take a break? Let's play the trailer for Alex Garland's, what is this called again? Oh, yeah, Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for Alex Garland's Civil War.
Great trailer, Brian.
That was a good trailer.
Before you even talk.
No, no, yeah. No.
I don't want to hear the bullshit in your voice. That was a great trailer.
What are you talking about? That totally mismarketed the entire film. That was
100%.
Every fucking
Absolutely.
Goddamn moment of somebody touching a gun, lifting a gun, every fucking bit of action, every fucking moment was in
there.
Yeah,
it was still exciting when you saw it in the movie, though, wasn't it? You're like, oh, this was awesome. And also reminded me when they went through the fucking woods and they were burning at night and how badass that looked.
That was
there's
really
a lot
cool.
of really pretty stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To be shot on shitty cameras.
I'm just saying it was. But, you know, they were selling us an action movie there. That's not what this was.
There's some action moments, you know.
At the end,
it just
yeah. And then some people blew up and some explosions happened in the distance. What the fuck? No, there was no action. Some suspense, yeah. Some chases, maybe. Yeah.
Is it a chase if you're just driving next to each other and then jumping from car to car?
I mean, dude, look, I'm stretching here to find the action in it,
okay?
Oh,
okay, okay, okay.
You're the one who said it was action. I'm just saying, yeah, at the end. Just try to throw you a bone.
The trailer made it seem like it was, though. Like
it's good.
Yeah,
it's like the exorcism of Emily Rose. You know, you think you're going for one thing, and it's completely different.
Cool. Way to go, trailer. That's why I don't fucking watch trailers, man.
Even the poster, like the Statue of Liberty poster, is fucking amazing. Not in the movie.
Well, the coolest part with the Statue of Liberty is when it gave birth to itself like six times.
Oh my God! Fuck off.
I didn't see that guy.
That's the director's cut.
They showed that at Cannes.
He got the standing ovation. Like, holy shit. It's called The New Birth of a Nation.
Oh my God. No. Fuck you. Oh my
Birth
God.
Slash
no.
Rebirth of a Nation.
Oh. this time with way less racism. We don't tackle any major like social issues. We let you think about it and put your own spin on it. Which side would you vote for?
That movie would be like the... never mind. I don't get it.
What are you talking about? It was a great ride, man. It's beautiful. Very simple story set amongst a large backdrop.
No, okay, but you keep saying that. No, it's a simple plot of people. I don't understand the story. I do not understand what this movie is about and what it's trying to say and what it's trying to communicate to audiences other than, hey, man, journalists, they can't do shit, bro.
No, they go through some shit.
But they're people.
To bring you the moments that you...
Okay.
To document history, bro. You know, for some reason with a still camera instead of a video camera.
Okay, so why is the movie coming down on that's so terrible?
Why do you feel like it's saying it's terrible, Brian?
Yeah, I think they're saying that it's badass, bro. You're right in the middle. You're right in the middle of it. You know?
I think they're equating the fact
you're
that
an impartial judge.
The camera is the same as the gun.
Yeah,
it's a weapon of war. It's used to distort the truth. Her line in the movie that they even played in that the trailer is, every time I took a picture, I was hoping I was sending a warning back home. Well, that's because those messages, those pictures are distorted with the guy's text. And the reporter is shown as being, what, a crazy, fake, womanizing, drunk asshole.
Who you never see write anything. And then he runs in there at the last minute. You're like, whoa, 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 don't kill him yet. I need a fucking quote, man.
Yeah, that'll do.
And the way they leave Kirsten Dunst is like, how can you say that?
Dude, how gnarly is that?
That is cold as fuck.
Fuck.
This movie's just
fuck.
Right? You're telling me that that's a good thing? You're telling me that this is coming down on, oh, journalist, that's positive. This looks like, no, just a terrible critique. Are you guys seeing it as positive?
No, I'm just wanting to hear that rant.
It is pretty gnarly that she dies and no one gives a fuck.
No,
they shoot the photo of her, and then she falls. The other dude's like, come on,
there's
we got to get in the other room.
There's no time for them to grieve.
She could still be alive. She's wearing a bulletproof vest. I don't get how she's dead. They should have shot her in the head. Like, you know, it was too easy to hit her that Simon in the back like that, you know? Come on, she's wearing a bulletproof vest. She could still be alive.
Well, they can go back and check after they get the story, you know?
You see, they show you the frame when she's taking the picture while it's happening. Like, that's the crux of that moment.
That's the callback from the previous conversation.
Right.
The student has now become the master.
I think you can see blood, like, splurting in one of the shots is part of what I'm saying.
I do think it's interesting the way that they, like, especially at the end, whenever there was a heavy scene, like, for example, Kirsten Dunst dying, or maybe not dying, depending on your view, that they switch to still frames so that you don't have to experience the horror. And I think that's something else that they're saying is like this, like when they switch to it, like that's suddenly more palatable. Suddenly you can process this so much easier, especially when they switch to black and white. It's all minimized in your brain because of that. You're not actually seeing what's going on. But what is he saying with this? Like, I don't really know. Like, or is he saying, like, you don't actually understand and experience the horror, like, because you're just a viewer? Like, I also think it's a critique of the viewer. And I think it's honestly a critique of literally everybody in the film. I think the only person who comes out kind of on top is Jesse Plemons. And that's a terrible take for a movie.
The guy who's fucking building a mass grave?
Yeah. Because at no point, like, I feel like there's so much heavy judgmental undertone throughout this movie until you get to Jesse Plemons and they're like, hey, he's kind of a cool guy. He let them go because they're all Americans. He's not racist. He just loves America. Felt like he got a pass. No, you guys didn't agree.
No, okay. All right. So what bothered me the most about that scene is that I think that scene is, again, the crux of the movie because you don't know who Jesse Plemons and his buddy are fighting for. You don't know which quote-unquote side they're on. Are they Western forces? Are they American troops? You don't know. He actively chooses not to engage that question. And so, like, I think the hope for that scene is that we feel the tension of we don't know who to blame. We don't know who to be scared of. We don't know who to make the bad guy. And thus, we are all the bad guy. Maybe something like that. But that is also me trying to project some amount of meaning onto that scene. I don't think that necessarily comes through.
And it's also
me reaching for it.
It's undercut. You put the whole thing in backwoods, fucking West Virginia.
Yeah.
You undercut that whole message by just your setting.
Yeah, because honestly, the way I interpreted the scene was that he's not Western Forces or American Forces. He's just
an
independent rogue asshole. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. 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 That was also kind of how I was reading it, which is why I was thinking about it. Like, surely there had to be more intent to it than that. Like, what could this be trying to say?
Yeah, and that's the other that's kind of what I mean though when I say like the scene just kind of ends. He's like, "Oh, cool, you're from Missouri and Colorado and where else? Cool, you're all Americans.
He's not
that cool.
Nice,
have a great day."
He's still super fucking scary.
Like, yeah, he's
like, "Oh, hey guys, you guys want a pop?" And he starts giving everybody soda. No.
Yeah, because we actually don't see it. He's just like, "Oh, cool, you're Americans too. I love those states." And then it cuts to them like they're gone.
He gets run over by the old man. And the old man.
He leans over.
Okay.
Yeah, he's about to kill them all, Kristen.
Oh,
he kills the Asian guy. And then
he's going to kill the reporter, and he's going to rape the two. Yeah, fucking 100%.
Oh, keep them as sex slaves. Can we have seen some of that? Because then maybe the movie would have been interesting, and we could go down a Pulp Fiction
there would have been
route,
actual like,
you know,
stakes and shit happening.
Yeah, because that's why I completely forgot about that. Is because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The girl gets knocked into the pit of bodies. You know?
Okay, yeah, and that was super cool. And what does that mean? What happens? What are the repercussions of this? What are the stakes here? Nothing. Nothing.
Trauma.
No, the exact opposite of trauma. She's like, you know what? Once you get thrown in a pit of dead bodies, you just pick yourself up and you go do the job. You take all the pictures.
Fuck yeah.
Because well, that's she goes
you gotta
to
get that. You got to have that first initial, total, freak out.
Oh, you're just around two hanging guys that are still fucking alive. You're going to freak out on that. But then when you're in a fucking grave of, I don't know.
Okay, actually, can we talk about the scene with the two guys that are hanging? Because that was another scene that was super weird. And the guy who's following her with the gun is kind of like, oh, hey guys, look what I'm doing.
So fucking awkward.
It was what is happening in this movie? honestly, the people that were terrorizing the others were the ones that... I think that I felt like that clerk who was like, oh, do you want to buy a dress? Like that clerk in the dress shop. I feel like she got more condemnation from the script from everyone else around her than those dudes did. Because they're like, oh, we have to remain impartial to get the shot. But with her, they're like, did you know there's a war? What the fuck are you doing? I don't understand what this movie's trying to say.
America.
Would they have been kinder to her if she had a gun and was torturing people in the back? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think they would have.
I think they would have too, which is, okay, to your point, Brian.
I get a little bit of that. You get some fear and everything, but yeah, I don't. You know.
And considering this movie doesn't want you to take a side, it does want you to take a side.
Oh, it definitely wants you to take a side.
Yeah.
But what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Side are we supposed to take here?
Yeah, the people that are like, oh, this is unbiased. I was like, whatever. This is literally some liberal fantasy of Donald Trump was president. And you know what? We're going to go fucking to the White House and we're going to go in there and we're going to rip him out of the office. We're going to kill everyone in there and we're going to fucking kill him right then and there. That's what
and
this
then
movie
take
was.
Fun photos on
it's
top of his body.
Yeah. Right?
It's a crazy person's response to the January 6th. This is how it should have been done.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form. I really dislike the guy. But how you could call this unbiased, I don't know. What drugs are you taking? Can I have some, please? They're mind altering. I mean, especially when what was it in the beginning? I saw this so long ago. It's been a week now, but Nick Offerman, he's got a slip up when he's writing his speech and he's like, it's the greatest military victory. It's the biggest. And
he's working out what he wants to say to make it sound like he's a badass.
Yeah.
He's building up his.
Well, yeah,
his
but there's one of them. He uses a word. I'm like, oh, bro. Okay. I got it. Yeah. Big league. I understand. Move on.
This is the it's the greatest thing you've ever seen. This is going to be, you're going to love it.
And it's the first scene in the movie, and you're like, oh, yeah, totally unbiased. Fucking. Totally.
Brian almost walked out. He's like, this is bullshit.
Well, no, not for the movie. Just fucking reviewers on that one. Like, who the fuck? I don't know.
Maybe they're calling it unbiased because there's no, like, oh, these are the Republicans or these are the Democrats or these are the liberals. Or they're not drawing the lines that we are
well, that's why they made the big point.
Discuss now.
I thought it
the
was
Texas
a pretty...
and California got together. Yeah. This supersedes the standard, you know, left and right, because the left and right have joined together to go against this fucking tyrannical asshole.
To be fair, there's a lot of rednecks in California.
I mean, look, that all may be true, but look, guys, I'm telling you, the people that we're following that we're supposed to be identifying with are liberal reporters, and the bad guys are scary rednecks. You're trying to tell me you're not picking a side. I call bullshit.
To be fair, I would also like to clarify that I have worked with liberal reporters, and they all are very, very adamant that they're moderates, and they don't take sides. Just like in this is where I'm trying to, like, they're.
That they feels all, kind of up there with, like, we're the press. Oh, is that why it's written on the side of your truck? That was one of the best moments in the movie, honestly.
I
just like that one guy. Guys were like, will you guys shut the fuck up? I got some good news.
Hard cut. That was the best edit in the whole movie.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I think you could really take all of the good parts of the movie, because there were some, and string them together. Like, that trailer made me want to watch this, and then I remembered what it is, and I don't. But, like, you could, like, take the good parts and put it together to make an enjoyable movie, a short, enjoyable movie.
This movie was kind of long, wasn't it?
It's a little long.
Yeah.
But mostly in that middle bit, it just kind of drags a little bit.
Hour 50, fuck. I thought it was, like, 210. Jesus.
That middle section is rough, man.
It felt long, man. It felt long.
When Jesse Plemons gets on screen, I guess that's why everybody's talking about him, because the movie starts getting slow, and you're just like, oh, something happened. Something happened. And, like, when the girl starts jumping back and forth between the cars,
that ain't it.
And you're just like,
I was like, is the movie bored with itself right now? Like, what is happening?
No, he was just really into that car scene in Children of Men. He's like, I need something that, you know, could be just as badass. This is what he came up with.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
He should have seen The First Omen. Because he drew the tripod shot.
That's a cool car.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, I started thinking about the scene where she starts to, like, you know, writhe and shit outside the vehicle. But yeah, I remembered.
Man,
the 360 car shot.
There's too many good car shots in that movie. God, I need to watch that movie again. Best movie of the year, First Omen.
Wait, did you guys notice, though, this irritated me more than it should, considering the whole movie, but when they are doing the car scene and then Kirsten Dunst has to jerk off the road. And
beach off the road?
Yeah, beach off the road.
Sorry, I'm a child.
It's late, you know.
God. Is Kristen frozen during this moment?
No, I think she is frozen. That's amazing. Oh, there she is. Okay, cool. We thought
you
were just holding that
pose.
I can
hear you.
You were frozen like this with your hair. Your fist up in the air.
She was just really excited for beaching off on the road. Continue.
No, but when she jerks off the road,
It's so lucky that they actually find a fucking, like, road.
No, but there's a road. There's a road. She turns onto the road.
Why is there happen to be a fucking road right there?
They're just really lucky, man.
That's a great point, yeah. For them to not crash into the woods.
Because when I jerk off the road, I slam into a tree.
No, that's what I was expecting, was for her to crash into a tree, though.
No, we're good. We're good.
It's just making it funnier to me that Brian also...
I can't stop it.
Okay.
Whew. Whew. Oh. All right, continue. That's hard. I've left it a while. All right. I'm alive. What were we talking about? Turning off the road? There was a
Alex
road there?
Alex Garland's Civil War.
For some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, who picked this? Why did we pick this?
Why did we pick this?
Who's responsible for this decision? If it was me, I really got some
new movie May. Is that what it was supposed to be?
Yeah, but, like, we didn't have to pick. Like, there are other movies.
Oh, man, this one's cool. It was
I think
worth
it was
watching.
Jared. I think it was Jared.
Obviously. But
no, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Don't act like you didn't like the movie. I know it doesn't really make sense, and it's thought-provoking in certain ways, whatever, but it had some cool moments, man. We enjoyed ourselves in the theater for once, right?
Sure.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah. It had some really pretty moments.
I thought Challengers was more enjoyable than this.
So, have you guys ever seen
Fall Guy was more enjoyable.
The film Come and See?
Come and See or Come like, See? Oh, Come and See. The war film. Yeah.
The war film that follows a kid who goes through war and is basically he gets traumatized throughout it. Alex Garland is quoted as saying this is his version of that. That's what he was trying to create with this.
Oh, he totally failed.
I think he should just stop giving interviews, honestly. It would be better if, like his movies, there was no point and he didn't try.
I don't know about that. I didn't even think about it. I didn't think of that film once watching this. You know, for a $50 million movie, I did keep thinking that this feels really low budget.
Well, the story felt very contained in a large world, so it made it feel low budgety. Well, we're on the peripheral of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And we just kind of dip like our toe in every now and then.
It felt like an episode of Walking Dead. Where, like, they have one fucking set piece where they're like, look, we got this really long piece of the interstate. We've got a fuck ton of cars. So let's jib up and then jib the fuck back down. And they cut away from it and they come back to it.
Walking Dead, that shot. Yeah, you're right.
My God. Yeah.
Walking Dead did it first. Yeah, total mid-season episode where all the talking shit's happening, you know, where it's real boring in season two. Yeah. That's more season three. Yeah. Just, man. Where's Sophia? Fuck. Come on. Let's move on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I felt this entire time. Especially with it being set like in that, like, let's go through West Virginia and Virginia and down through the South and stuff. It was just like, cool. You guys shot this in Atlanta. All right.
Well, they're headed. No shit. They're headed to fucking D.C. That's how you get there, guys. They had to go through that part of the country.
Yes. But like there's ways that they could have.
No, they didn't have to go that script. Way. They went that way because they couldn't go through Pittsburgh because they were going from New York to D.C. You don't have to go to West Virginia at all. The movie went out of its way to write that bullshit in to go that way. They chose that.
It's the British view of America, man. You got to go there.
It's the real heart of America.
It just undercuts your whole message. Like, if you had it in a city and you're trying to keep it vague and we're not trying to put any ideas into anyone's mind, you would have somebody in a city environment, right? And you would give them whatever that regional accent is for that city to be like, okay, well, that's just somebody of the city. And especially when you're going through fucking Pennsylvania, which is like already it's like a swing state as it is. What are we talking about? It's right there. You could have written it in the script in a very unbiased manner.
Drive through fucking Philly. They've got one of the only bridges that are still working for us to get to the other side of the river. That'll get us down. Like, that's not hard.
But no, they did choose this. It does make it feel more like a horror film, more contained.
Do you think that was a budgeting choice?
I don't know. See, man, Challengers. I feel like that. I feel like I saw the money more on that one.
Yeah.
And that's about tennis and this type of explosions and war and stunts.
This had fucking real tanks driving through a goddamn square, it looked like.
And they did recreate the Oval Office.
Yeah.
It looked good enough. I didn't. Yeah.
It looked good enough.
I didn't question it. Dude, when they're going into the
rooms behind, you know, that lead up to the Oval Office and they're just shooting motherfuckers, that was all badass. It looked good. It felt realistic.
Those are your action scenes.
It was a little too easy to get in there, though, you know, at that point.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they kind of tried to play off the easiness. I think you're right. But like they sort of intimated this is the end of the end. And if he's supposed to be like leaving in the car, in the van, you know, that group of vehicles leaving and he decided to stay, like though that was the last ditch effort for everyone else to get out. So it makes sense that there's only a handful of people even left there. I did think some of the DC shots where they were like following the helicopter and stuff and they're blowing up monuments and shit, like that was a little bit like Independence Day. Let's just blow up the cool thing because that's what people want to see.
Yeah, that felt like a producer note. Like, we need a landmark destroyed. Here, launch a bazooka.
100%.
If he blow up the Lincoln Memorial. If Alex Garland had said that Independence Day was his inspiration, like I would be like, yes, I can see that.
I mean, it makes sense. Bill Pullman was a fighter pilot president in that movie, so he could have ordered an airstrike on Americans. He could have actually led it himself, so it checks out.
I will say, talking about the airstrikes, the trailer was playing the clip of, like, he ordered the airstrikes on Americans, and they show the shot of the jets flying by, and then they cut to the fucking bomb exploding. That was actually the person with the flag running in.
Yeah,
that was a pretty good solid cut if you're going to try and fake something for the sake of a trailer.
Yeah, they also made it seem like he was actually talking to the president.
Oh, it totally did. Yeah, yeah. Not just hypothetical. What are you going to ask him?
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know.
It'll come to me. Say something, goddammit!
Don't let them kill me.
Yeah, that'll do.
What were the Mussolini last words? We did look that up because they brought that up in the movie. Was it like aim for the heart, aim for my heart, something like that?
Aim for my heart, yeah.
Kill me quickly.
Anybody got anything else? So I'm going to go with, yeah, it's ratings time. All right. Anybody want to go first? Raise your hand. Nobody's going. All right. I'm going to give this movie a 6. Enjoyable beginning. Gives way to a kind of boring middle that starts to work and then falls apart just from being kind of repetitive. And it does stick the landing of at the ending though. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe 6.5. I'll go up 6.5. It's not quite a 7. It's not great. The performances and everything's fine. It's just, I don't know what this movie's saying. I don't know if the filmmaker really knows. It kind of seems like a fucking teenager that's like, man, you know, fucking journalists, man. They just take the pictures, man. This is terrible. People are dying and babies are dying, like little babies, and they're just taking pictures of babies dying. And it's like, yeah, no fucking shit. Grow the fuck up. No fucking shit. That's their fucking job. You're there to take pictures, motherfucker, not take a bullet. God damn. Know your fucking role. Alex Garland, you seem like a smart motherfucker, so I don't understand. Like, maybe you're not. Maybe you're more of a child than I realized you were. I don't know. This just kind of seems like a fucking movie for, like, teenagers to process. And all the adults in the room are just kind of like, what the fuck is this kid going on about? What the fuck is he saying? What the fuck? He's like, man, look, I think Alex Garland's going around giving this, oh, the movie's unbiased narrative, because he fucking made a movie about a fucking Donald Trump president being shot in the head, and then he turns around and made the liberal heroes fucking villains. Because he's like, yeah, they're cold-hearted bastards. So, like, who do you have to root for? It's not unbiased when you piss on everyone. I don't know. That's not the movie's fault. That's reviewers. Still, I don't know. Not a good movie. You gotta have something to say if you're gonna go with this. Otherwise, just fucking, I don't know, make Spotlight Part 2, Alex Garland. That's clearly what you wanted to do. Tell a fucking story about journalists that is saying something with it, and it's not involving war and some made up fucking war at that. Like, if you're gonna say something, have some balls and put it in a time and place. Don't make it about some fucking fairy tale fantasy land where I'm supposed to be like, do I need to know the backstory of this? Do I need to know the sci-fi history of this? Because you don't give it to me and I keep waiting for it to happen and it just doesn't happen. And you're just kind of left wondering like, oh, okay. That setup of not having answers just makes you question things more. Which is like, maybe this movie's just supposed to be mindless fun, in which case, I don't know, like, give me some answers then, and spoon feed me my fucking goddamn Frosted Flakes, motherfucker. Don't put my Frosted Flakes through a mouse trap and make it hard. If you're gonna give me my fucking sugar, give it to me easy. That's all I'm asking for. 6.5. Who's going next?
Man. But it's some sugary goodness, Brian. I think you're a little harsh on your rating. I think the movie's a good ride. There's some great acting. It's beautifully shot. There's some really intense moments. It's just the fucking substance is kind of, you know, it's left up to you. It's up to you to get what you want out of it. I was going to go 8, but your thing's pushing me to a 7.5. So we'll see. I'm leaning 8 still. It's another Alex Garland movie, man. Still better than Men. That's where I'll leave it.
That's a very fucking low bar. That's where you're
seriously,
leaving it.
Seriously, seriously low bar. So you're calling it an 8?
Jared's like, it's not a 3. It's better than a 3.
It's no, did we give Men a 3?
I gave Men a 3, yeah.
I don't think anybody on this podcast gave it above a 5.
Look, man, Ex Machina is amazing, and I love him for that one, so he'll always get at least a 5 or no. a 6 from me. But,
that's
you
not
know,
how ratings
I don't know.
Work. You don't get Goodwills.
Hey, man, I heard you laugh story. At least twice in this movie. You had a good fucking time. I think you need to raise your rating a little bit higher.
6.5. I laughed two times. Time. You got to get it more than a 7? Fucking 2 laughs? Motherfucker, damn. We got to talk about your standards, Jared. You got to raise them just a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I keep getting getting told that I rate shit too high. So, yeah.
All right, this one's a 7.
Whoa. How low can you go?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know. It's no Alan Quartermain in the Lost City of Gold. Let's just go there.
We all have to have standards.
We do.
At least that movie knew what it was, and it's, you know, if you want to enjoy something on that level, there you go. I get that.
Man, I wanted to enjoy this movie on some kind of level. Ex Machina is one of my favorite movies. Like, I fucking
great movie.
Love that movie. And Alex Garland is just like, either he's high on his own supply, or someone has convinced him that he's the fucking shit and that he shouldn't actually, like, think about what he's talking about anymore or something. I don't know, because this movie, I described it as, like, mindless 80s action kind of fun, where you're like, I walked out of the theater, I was like, I don't remember most of what happened. I remember the very flimsy story, and I remember most of the plot, but, like, It was forgettable because it wasn't saying anything. It was like, what is the fucking point of this the entire time? That's what I was thinking. What is the point of any of this? Like, you don't really know who to root for because no one is like there's clear antagonists and protagonists, but there's not really anyone that is like relatable in that kind of a sense. At best, I can watch this movie and think that he's trying to say, listen, motherfuckers, if you don't like fix your shit, this is what your America is going to be like everywhere else in the world that has gone to shit, your place is going to do it. Maybe that's what he's trying to say, but that's not really apparent. And that's, again, me just trying to project onto it because I want Ex Machina. I want fucking Annihilation Alex Garland, where he's fucking saying something. I don't know what he's doing these days. For a movie about taking pictures, this is a really, really beautiful movie. I think it was shot really well. I did that. There's this one particular lens that Kirsten Dunst gets. It's like she'll have these close-ups where the whole background kind of turns like sideways, and it's a little bit glowy. And it's
is
only
it the rainbowy one.
Yeah,
every
yeah,
now
yeah.
And then there's one lens that they use that it's got rainbow, rainbow like halation looking shit,
and it looks
edges.
Super interesting, and it kind of cool. goes to extra blurry around the edges. It looks really, really pretty. It's only on her for most of the movie until she and Jesse kind of swap places. And then there's a couple shots where Jesse gets that as the close up. Right. And I thought that was a really, really interesting, like, visual motif to kind of explore their character relationships. I'm sure that was the cinematographer's decision and not Alex Garland. And I wish this movie was directed by someone with a little bit more balls. I mean, that feels weird to say about fucking Alex Garland's Men, but, you know, I'm going to stop talking. This was an interesting watch, but I don't know. Maybe if I'd seen it again, I might appreciate more of the nuance that it didn't seem to have. It all felt pretty heavy-handed. I'm going to come in at a 6. I want more from this director. I want more from this situation, from this concept. It kind of fell flat. It didn't really know where it was going and didn't take me anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best thing you can say about this movie is that you go into it and it starts off, you have strong characters, or at least strong acting, and you're willing to give it a chance. And at some point in the movie, you realize, no, it's not going anywhere. There's no point. I don't know. Like, I feel things. but I don't, you know, I don't even know what to do with them or how to apply them to this situation, because there's not really anything to do or to say, and every moment of suspense is just released, like let go, and there's just nothing here. There's just for a movie that seems like it wants to make a point, there's no substance and no point is ever made. And so, yeah, but there's some moments that are good. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow, 5. All right.
I thought that was pretty generous, but like I was like mildly entertained at times. So
no, I'm surprised. That does not.
What do you think I was going to get?
I thought you were going to give it like a 3.5 or.
I did actually watch it twice because I was like, maybe I just missed something, like a big, maybe I missed a scene or something.
That doesn't give me hope, Kristen.
No, I wouldn't watch it again because the second time I was at least more prepared, so I wasn't as angry when the movie ended. But I still was like, nope, this is nothing. There's nothing here.
It's good old fashioned nothing burger.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about costumes, and we didn't really talk about budget.
Yeah, we did. We brought up the budget was $50 million.
$50 million. Are we making it back?
It's made 110.7.
All right, there you go. A24 can continue to make movies.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
I mean, you got to make one. They got to make 150 to be profitable.
Every movie in the theaters these days is A24, so I think it's okay.
They'll be fine. With costumes, I felt like there was nothing really of note except, again, Jesse Plemons' character. And I was really disappointed to learn that that was Jesse's idea. He was like, there really wasn't a strong vision in this. And I can't necessarily blame the costume designer for that. I mean, were things accurate? Yeah. Did they have like nice little jackets on? Sure. But like, was anything like interesting? No. Jesse Plemons' character and the glasses were the most interesting things about this movie. Even the dress that she tries on is so simplistic. I think it would have been way more interesting to have, you know, so in times of war, people tend to, if they have means, if they can go to a shop, for example, the stuff there is going to be way nicer than normal. What you tried on is because they're trying to escape that they're in a war. And also fabric might be hard to get. So it would also be like super expensive. And then there's the whole like during World War II, like hemlines shrunk because they're saving fabric for warline things. There's a lot of things you could have done here to make that dress interesting, but it was a very simple, basic black dress, which is fine, and it works for what they're trying to do, except what are they trying to do except say that she doesn't wear dresses anymore? Of course she doesn't. She's a fucking photojournalist working. She's not gonna put on a fucking dress and like what, hit the town? Like, I just thought, again, it was a scene that could have been so much stronger, but it just wasn't. There's just nothing there. Jesse Plemons' character is dressed in military style and has those glasses, and that's the most interesting thing we've seen, I think, in the entire movie. And that's why, another reason why people are talking about his character is because he actually has a character.
I mean, it's interesting that you're focusing on the, I forgot where I was going with that, but never mind.
What? Yeah, either the dress or the.
No, it's just, it's interesting that you're focusing on the passage of time. The movie doesn't address it, and you can't.
Yeah, you don't really know how long it's been.
Yeah, that's true. You can't tell from clothing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell
everybody
from anything.
Everybody's still
though.
Really clean. Everybody looks really clean still.
Yeah.
A lot of people look really clean. A lot of people still had clothes. It doesn't seem like we have been at war for that very long.
No.
Yeah, there's still gas. Yeah, maybe
there's families walking on the side of the road with their fucking suitcases, like like they were going to grandma's, but now they're just walking there. Like,
yeah,
yeah, it all feels pretty recent.
It does feel recent. And so, what are you saying, that they would have like ugly clothes still? Like, maybe. Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that was left was that shitty dress, that shitty wraparound dress.
But even so, like, they had, like, that store was fully stocked.
Yeah, nobody's buying anything, Kristen. Everybody's at home fucking eating their fucking war rations.
Oh, I disagree. If you're in a town like that, you would still be going out and buying clothes and...
See y'all down at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. I mean, and the other guy, I don't even know his name. He was wearing just like, what, a t-shirt and jeans? Like, it's so,
who, the
like,
fucking writer guy? You know, yeah. He had style, you know? He had like a jean jacket and fucking, you know.
Okay. We can call that mustache. Style.
It's called a
it's
mustache.
Not style.
See, have we talked ourselves up a little bit?
No.
From okay. What? No. If anything,
that
I would rate it lower. Now that we're talking about it, yeah, there's still no vision here.
Do we have Rotten Tomatoes?
That's what we're waiting on. I wish someone had said something.
Oh.
Tough and unsettling by design, Civil War is a gripping close-up look at the violent uncertainty of life in a nation in crisis. Rotten Tomatoes certifies Civil War as fresh with an 81% tomato meter with a 71% audience score.
Wow, 71. I guess, sure, whatever. I don't even have an opinion on this movie. Who cares? Anybody got anything else?
No, we watched it. It's done. Cool.
On to the next.
Which, what are we doing next? We're doing Dune part 2? Is that what we're doing next? Or are we doing, we're going straight to Mad Max? What are we doing? What are we doing?
I guess Dune.
We're doing Dune? All right. Dune, then Mad Max.
Fuck. We're doing it.
Both of them.
This is going to be awesome. All right. Thank God. George Miller, I know you're not going to... I haven't seen Furiosa yet, but I can just imagine how great it's going to be. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, man. Maybe. Your level of enthusiasm is... You guys are kind of bringing me down a little bit. You're bringing me down. So, obviously, I need to wrap it up. With that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @moviecrewpod. Jared, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @checkthegate.
Mike, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram @GrigsyMedia. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram @KristenMagdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter @ElkinsEdits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with an excerpt from the Civil War soundtrack. What are we going to play? I don't know. You know what? Let's go with Headshot, because that's the only track I listen to from start to finish. No, that's a dick thing. We'll go with... Sure, we're going to do a track titled Headshot. And this is from composer Ben Salisbury. Enjoy.